Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 344. It is the start of week three of the apocalypse.
Shit, man.
I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Do y'all have a few million John Carmack can borrow? Just wondering.
maybe 50 of them, or 500 of them.
He's going to need it.
Jeff is here as well.
Are we on Apocalypse Watch now? Like a weekly Apocalypse Watch?
I think we might be.
I think it feels like it.
We're like those people who like the underground radio that people buy ham radios to listen to, but we don't talk about the news. We just are still talking about video games for some reason.
We're just pretending it didn't happen.
Yeah,
everything's gonna be okay.
I'm dreading what executive order he signs at 4:59 this week.
It's like the meme, I'm sure you guys saw it, where every morning now I wake up, it's damage reports.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck has happened?
Fozzie is here as well.
America.
And so is yes, there is a lot of shit going on in the world, and hopefully we can take your mind off that for, you know, an hour or so.
Or not.
Or not. Maybe we're just exasperating. Enhancing your fear, and you need a little more Lexapro in your life. I don't know.
My antidepressants, man, they're doing overtime.
It's like, not to sidetrack us too much, but at what point do we know like it's time to actually really panic? Because it feels like it is.
He hasn't set up camps yet.
That's true.
We're close. But,
and like everything is in that direction, right? Like, am I crazy and thinking?
No,
like,
I mean, the Holocaust really Museum has a literal checklist for what a fascist government looks like, and he's missing 2 out of 10.
Okay, all right. I'm not completely crazy. Thank you.
No. And trust me, if you look out there, you would only seem crazy to the people that support him. Everybody else knows what's going on here.
You know, all of Twitter is freaking out, but I'm like, is it just because we're like in this Twitter bubble and we're all just freaking out? But I'm like, maybe not. It seems like things are happening there.
No, because I mean, the media, like, you know, there are a lot of places which are catching on to him now. CNN, especially since he pissed them off.
But it's like, all right, just like, again, I don't want to hijack this whole podcast, but it just feels like the whole election we saw, like, I saw what I felt was something very dangerous in him, and it's like constantly being confirmed, like, oh, yeah, I think he's really going to do that. Yeah. And the supremacist is in charge of the national security now. Oh, shit.
So there was an article. I'm not entirely sure which publication it came from, but it said that people weren't taking him – his supporters weren't taking him literally, but they were taking him seriously, and everybody else wasn't taking him seriously but literally. And really, everyone should have been taking both.
That's what I was all along. I said, the guy said what he's going to do, he's going to do it. Like, he won. He's going to try to do what he said he's going to do. Like, I don't know why you would think otherwise. Like,
well, I think because, like, every time that happens, the other party attempts to block him. But we are in a very rare instance where the party of the president also controls all other aspects of government.
Out on the Republicans to, like...
Right. Which hasn't happened in, like, 80 integrity. Years or something like that. Like, I think... Like when they said that they controlled the Senate and the House and the presidency, that last time that happened was in like 1920 or something like that. So that's why I think everybody was like, oh, candidates say they're going to do this and they're going to do that, but, you know, government gets in their way no matter what. And it's like, no, not this time. Why couldn't it have been this time?
You just hope that some of the Republicans wake up enough.
Well, I think your best case scenario is that they're going to use him to get stuff done that they want to do, which, you know, in my opinion, are bad things. But then once they're done with him, they'll impeach him. But I don't know.
Is that a lot of them want the same things that he does.
No, I mean, not all. Like, the whole like,
not all, but enough. Right now, at least.
Yes. But the whole like white supremacist angle, which he doesn't even really talk about that much, but it's like definitely like influencing what he does. I don't think a lot of Republicans are super down with that. Like, yeah, they're assholes and whatnot, but I don't think that they're like.
He's making them lots of money, and they're more than willing to look over any of that in order to continue getting paid.
We need more people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham who are like willing to break from that shit. But I don't know.
And I would suggest you continue to call your Republican senators and right. It's really the only thing we can do at this point outside of protesting.
Supposedly,
this is where I get sad because I don't have anyone to call.
Right, you live in D.C., you know, right? So,
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah. But supposedly it is effective. I've been doing it. I've called my representative here and told him, "Hey, we're gonna vote you out next time." The thing that sucks is like he ran unopposed here last time, so it's like it's kind of an empty threat. But
you should run, Jeff. I'll vote for you.
But I know that so we have one of our senators is Republican, Pat Toomey, and he is very seriously considering not voting for the education secretary, I guess.
Yeah. Is he the last one that's needed to say no to her? And then
they need one more.
They need one Republican to say no because they already got two. Right now, I guess it would tie. Would it tie Tony? Is that right? Right now, it would tie, it would be enough Pence.
Confirmer.
Yeah, but if they can get one more no vote, she would be pulled out. So he is listening. His staff is listening. His staff is just overwhelmed, really, from the impression I got. Like, just they're getting thousands and thousands of calls a day.
It's very true. And also, don't just call if you have a Republican, representative
right.
or senator.
Call your Democratic.
Right. They don't have a – exactly. I was literally going to say they don't have a spine.
Oh, call them and scare them because they will vote for shit because they don't have any balls. So scare them.
It's weird. Like,
not threaten them with violence, but scare them with your vote.
Right. Don't call them and say you're going to kill them.
Threaten them with the loss of their career.
Yes. Because that is the scariest thing for them. So
I mean, dude, it's so funny though. I called earlier to Homeland Security to say that I oppose Steve Bannon being on the National Security Council, which I don't think we really have a say in. But I went to leave a message and mailbox full. So people are calling. Like,
well, no, we do because he still has to be confirmed.
No, he doesn't.
See that? I don't
not
think
that
he
one. Not that one. That oh, okay.
I think it's up to the president
him where he has to be confirmed. And I don't remember.
He's like a special advisor.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm mixing a couple things up.
That's terrifying, dude.
There's so many intricacies that it's hard sometimes to parse out exactly like the literal title of the issue.
Regardless, though, calling these people apparently is super effective. For
that's
the
what they
part,
keep saying.
So,
do
it. Yeah.
There are scripts out there if you have phone anxiety and stuff like that you can just read from instead of trying to think of your own words and stuff like that.
Yeah, a friend of mine put up because she's terrified to call, and she found somebody else that had kind of put up a YouTube video of her calling the first time to her senator. And how that conversation went. So, there are ways for you to get around that. But
just remind them that they work for you. You are their boss. Owners, they work for you. So take that 2-minute phone call and let your
voice sometimes you get lucky and you get an automated message board. And, they don't have a person that answers. They have a robot. And that's, best case scenario.
No, it's usually just an answering machine. And that's fine. But
I think when I call,
they get 50,000 calls a day and shit. They're going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and if they're all like, don't do this, at some point they will listen to you. Some point.
We hope. Good God, guys.
But but we are not the political podcast.
We're not.
Not as much as we try to be.
I mean, hey, if you guys are listening to this and you want us to talk more because you need that in your life, let us know. But
I think maybe the four to five of us need it just because it's sometimes cathartic to say it out loud. And
it feels good.
Yeah. I mean, at some point you get tired of just kind of yelling into the void of Facebook at people that just don't seem to get it. And sometimes it's hard as well because they're family members or like close friends, and it's like, makes it tough. So yeah, but let's talk about some other horrible shit. let's talk about some video games. Tony, you were not here last week.
That's right.
You were sick. Were you playing anything over the last
Actually, I finished while I was sick. I finished my campaign in Total War Rome 2.
Nice.
Which, you know, I have this huge pile of games that I haven't played from the fall. And, of course, I spent 64 hours playing this entire campaign. I finished.
When you're sick, the old comforts are where it's at.
That's right. Well, it was before I was sick, though. I was sick when I finished.
Well, but
But I can highly recommend Total War Rome 2 if you're poor and looking for a Total War game. It's awesome. But
nice.
I did achieve final victory. Everyone, I will say there's a feature in the game called Imperium, which basically it limits the size of or the number of armies you can build. Based on the number of provinces you hold. So when you get close to the end of the game and you hold like a lot of provinces, the AI countries tend to not hold so many provinces.
Mm.
So I'm like, I have 16 armies and you can't build more than 4. Good luck. So it also means that the AI, for some reason, doesn't cheat. Like in a lot of strategy games, you end up in that kind of situation and the AI will cheat.
Right,
but that is not the case here. So the AI tries to play it straight and
will not win against that.
Will not succeed. No.
Nice.
Also, Tony, I'm super sick now, so I feel like by some sort of 6 degrees of separation, you caused this to me.
See, but I wasn't on the podcast last week specifically, so I wouldn't make you sick.
I'm just saying, like, you came into contact with somebody who like flew a plane to Chicago, who shook hands with somebody that lives in DeKalb, and next thing you know, I'm sick.
I will try to stay away from Kevin Bacon as much as I can.
I mean, that's really hard to do, though.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. He's that specter.
But you're feeling better now, Tony.
I am. And I moved on from Total War to another game that didn't come out last year. Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Okay.
Because for some reason lately I've had this urge to stab things.
I don't
know where it's come from, but I have it. So I figured I'd go back and I'd only played like the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of the game. But I've actually played like several hours of it now, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, I like the game a lot.
There was a new Assassin's Creed game coming, but I guess the most disappointing thing about it so far is that the massive gang fights don't feel very massive.
No.
They feel kind of small, actually. It's like 10 people fighting each other.
And then most of the time it's just like kind of get to the main person, right?
Right. You have the little gang fight and then, well, the opening one, it's, you have the little gang fight and then it's, okay, chase down the train because the guy you actually want to fight is on the train.
Right.
Go get him. And I'm assuming most of the subsequent ones are similar.
Yeah, they're kind of all similar to that. But,
but it's kind of fun liberating the regions and, you know, I don't know. There's always the whole Assassin's Creed thing where you meet all the famous. You meet like Alexander Graham Bell and Charles Dickens. And
have you gotten to like the really like the special like secret mission? Secret mission.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so probably not.
Well, I won't say specifics then, but I think it's not connected to the main story. It was like some side thing that they dumped in there. That it's the because when does this take place?
It's like
Victorian England.
Yeah.
Right, and I think this mission is further than that.
Yeah.
But
is that the Jack the Ripper thing?
No, that was DLC.
Oh, all right.
But I mean I don't know.
There are ones in what was the one before that? Unity, right? Like,
yeah.
There were ones that like played with time where you would jump around.
Right, I think there's one like that takes place in World War I.
Hmm.
I'm gonna look that up and make sure I'm not talking about
it. Because there was one in World War II in Unity.
Yeah, I think you're thinking about Unity.
Maybe I am.
Because I remember playing it though.
Eve's granddaughter.
Anyway, I do like the zip line thing. I don't remember what it's called.
It's like the grapple hook thing. It's like
the grapple hook hooked into your blade thing, so you can.
Yeah.
It makes traversing the environment a lot easier. And you spend a lot less time, like, just climbing around.
Yeah.
Which makes the game a lot more playable.
Yeah. No, I was right. Here we go. The okay. The one you're thinking of, Chris, was in the French Revolution.
Yes.
And the Syndicate 1 is World War 1. Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, it's basically one of those things that
people... Yeah, they generally just come across as you play that, so...
Yeah.
Because
well, I think that's look forward to the random one World War 1 sequence.
Right. Yeah, that game's a lot of fun, though, so...
I do think that the two characters, I haven't noticed a whole lot of difference. Maybe when they level them up, there'll be more difference. But right now, they kind of feel very similar.
Yeah, I mostly played as Evie, and she seems just as like she's supposed to be the weaker of the two. She's more stealth based, but I don't seem to have any trouble dispatching people when I get
right. Caught. Exactly.
Can you play the whole game as either one, or do you have to take?
There are some missions where you have to play as one or the other, but okay. And most of them, you have a choice.
That's cool.
Yeah, there are.
Like, as long as you're not like in the middle of combat, you can switch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That was the last one they put out too. It's been a few.
That
years
was.
Now,
it's
right?
been. Well, that was.
Or was it just 24? Was that 2015's game?
There was no game last year. It was yeah. 20. It was 2015.
Wow, it feels like it's been longer than that. Huh.
Well, the game got like. It was just another Assassin's Creed. I think that's the biggest reason why they didn't do another one after that. Was that
right.
It was just, it got no accolades. Nobody was excited about it, and which is sad because it's pretty good.
Yeah, they came off that whole Unity debacle where like the game was a like technical mess and stuff. And
right.
So.
No, they needed some time away, and then they have that horrible movie now, and
right.
I don't think that was helpful to them.
So. Do one of us say that in our predictions that there was going to be they were going to do an Assassin's Creed game this year? I feel like that was something
they're supposed to be doing one. It was can't. It was delayed. Like there's the Egypt one.
That right. Okay.
Last year around this time, Kotaku always kind of is it Kotaku? I think it's Kotaku that is always kind of breaking that early.
Gotten them in some hilarious trouble.
I was trying to work on my 10 most anticipated games of the year for the power rankings, and my list is pretty thin because I'm like, there's a lot of games that I know there's going to be some that are coming out that just haven't been announced.
Yeah, that's where I ran into some trouble.
I'm making stuff up now. I forgot that Detroit was a game, and I just put that on my list because.
I've got some games on my list. I'm just kind of like, I don't really care about this, but it's going in here because...
Just for right now.
Yeah.
See, my Dawn list doesn't have a lot of wiggle.
Sure, it's a strategy game. We'll put that on my list because that sounds like something I'd be interested in, even though I don't care.
Right. I don't... Well, I still don't think... Red Dead is on everybody's list so far. Right. I still don't think that's coming out this year.
I don't think it is either.
I don't think Mario's coming out this year either, which is awesome.
Yeah. Maybe those aren't. Yeah, things are going to shake up for sure. But right now, like, let's say these games all come out. There's not a ton of wiggle room in mind unless, like, certain games come out and they're not as good as I thought or whatever. But, like, I don't know. A lot of them, I'd say, like, 8 out of 10 games on my list I'm, like, super looking forward to. So, like, this is the year of Jeff.
I put in For Honor. I'm like, For Honor's coming out. That can go on my list.
It's a thing, yeah.
I know it exists.
Coming out soon too, isn't it?
It's yeah. The beta is next weekend.
Huh.
So,
Jeff, are you going to jump on that Neo bandwagon?
I was talking to Chris before the show, and I'm just like, the whole Team Ninja part of it to me is where I'm like, I don't know.
It's gotten some pretty positive reviews, and people keep billing it as Bloodborne but with samurais, and I'm like, that's really tempting.
That's cool. Jim Sterling gave it a 10 out of 10. I was looking at his review. I'm like, Like, and there's so many things. Like, dude, it sounds amazing. It's like, all right, Dark Souls, except we're going to have as much loot as Diablo. That's just like, it's like hitting all the buttons I like. It's just when you put in the Team Ninja factor and, like, I don't like the Ninja Gaiden games is where I'm like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
Because if it's like that, but Dark Souls, it's just like, taking two really hard things and putting them together, and I'm not really good at the ninja guy. Like, I like the slow, deliberate pace of Dark Souls.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm really interested in it, though. Like, it's getting some positive reviews, so I don't know. And I'm on vacation all next week, so, like, I might need something to do, but We'll see.
Alrighty. Fozzie. Still there?
Yeah.
Hey, what have you been up to?
I. Oh, what have I not been up to? Well, quite a lot. But a couple games I've been playing. Main ones. I went back. I haven't played South Park The Stick of Truth. So I went back and I played it, and I'm really addicted. I'm really upset that I didn't play this earlier. It's great. It's like I'm in a South Park episode, and the writing is fantastic, and the RPG, like the battles actually take a while to get used to before you kind of actually get into it, but it's been super fun. So I put like 10 hours into that game without even thinking about it. But besides that, I've wanted to play more Final Fantasy, but I haven't gotten to that. And the only other game I've really been playing a lot of is Yakuza 0.
Yeah,
okay.
But
this is, I wish, it won't be game of the year for me because it'll be too far out. It's in January, so I'm going to forget about it. But, man, this game is great. It's so good. It's insane how much you can do in it, too. I don't even know what to say because it's like obviously it's all Japanese, so it has English subtitles, but the English subtitles are just the – I think they're doing it just because they could and because it sounds stupid. But sometimes I don't know if there's like just a language barrier there. But like how they describe people, like, you know, huh, I can't even think about it right now. But whenever you fight
the dialogue is weird.
Yeah, it's super weird.
I mean, it's distinctly foreign. Like, we don't have many games that feel like foreign films. I think Yakuza, though, is probably, like, emblematic of, like, it is distinctly Japanese.
I guess, but, like, it's weird because it's, like, they're talking about, like, fisting in one part. And then the guy's like, what? You're into that? And he's like, no, not that type of fisting. This type of fisting. Like, like fighting. Like, I'm like, what is going on here?
We only know one type of fisting over here.
Yeah, and like when you learn a new move, he's like, that's rad. And then like he does the moves and stuff. Like, it's just, it's like a B movie, like Japanese mafia, but outlandish, like just crazy, over the top. Like, one side quest, I'm helping these dudes that are supposed to be, like, these punk rockers, but they're all, like, really, like choir boys and stuff. They give them lines, like, for dialogues, and so depending on what dialogue, like, lines you give them, because they're trying to impress their fans, because they think that you're hardcore, like, you're the punk rock guy. So it kind of changes the... It's hard to explain. This game is just out there, but it's in a great way. I think, Jeff, I think you'd really like this game. Did you like Shenmue at lot? Did you ever play that?
No. You're the Shenmue guy.
I am the Shenmue guy. But, like, it's better than Shenmue because there's so much to do. But, like, it's got that 1980s feel that, like, Shenmue had. I don't know. I don't even know how, like, have you ever played any of those games? Like, any of you guys? Besides, I think.
Yes, I tried Yakuza 3 or 4.
I tried 3 as well.
Yeah.
I think that was the first one on PlayStation 3.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't get,
I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I couldn't either. But, and I think, you know, it's because it was, I think, that orphanage one, right? It was really slow. But this one is, like, fucking action all the time. So the story is actually pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, you get pretty invested into it. And it's got a good pacing. But the thing is that there's so much to do around the city, too, is that you don't want to just go from story to story. You want to kind of explore. And, you know, there's karaoke and bowling. And there's, like, this baseball game that's super fun. So there's a lot of, like, little challenges you can do here and there, but, yeah. it's January. You probably don't have much to play right now as far as new games go. So
it's, I don't know, man. That's it's a snowball effect from here on out.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely gonna be some great games coming out, but this is a game that, you know, hopefully I'll play a bit of and then maybe come back in the summertime and finish up, because you can probably put like 60 to 80 hours, I've heard, into this game. Huh. So it's like, it's on par with Final Fantasy 15 for sure.
Cool. Yeah. I think later this year they're doing the remake of the first game, right?
Oh, I don't know. That'd be cool.
I want to say, yeah. But I don't remember for sure.
It's PS3, though, that's been ported to PS4, so the graphics aren't great. But the cutscenes are actually really good looking. But, yeah. So keep that in mind. It's sweet. Cool, though. It's great. If you're, like, a Sega fanboy, you'll like it. There's a bunch of multiple Sega games. And yeah.
I don't know. I'm interested, but if I had to choose between that and Neo, I think I'd go Neo.
All right, wait till like the summertime. I guarantee it's going to be like $30. Get it there.
Yeah.
I know you, Hefe, and you're going to appreciate this humor. You're going to get sucked into this game.
Hmm. I'll give it a shot at some point. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a drought in the summer.
Yeah, so. The Yakuza games are almost instantaneously dropped in pricing. So this way, you like physical copies too. You'll find it for $20 in like 3 or 4 months for sure.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that one.
I've seen a lot of people talking about it too. So
it's and you can watch the Giant Bomb. They did a quick look that does a pretty good job.
I think they're doing a playthrough series as well. Not like an endurance run, but they're doing more like
that would be great,
like a Metal Gear Scanlan type thing.
Yeah,
with all the Yakuza games,
that'd be fantastic.
Could be down for that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right. Jeff, you finished Resident Evil.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, I beat it.
How long did it take you?
13 hours and 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's the average time I've seen, and so everybody who said that it was like a 6-hour game is talking out of their ass.
Well, evidently it can be finished in 90 minutes, though.
Right.
I don't know how. I mean, there must be
an you'd have to know it.
Well, I think if you know it, and if you play the New Game Plus and you got the shoes, they're like, you were, because at the end of the game, if you complete it in a certain way, you get items for like your New Game Plus. And one of them are like these shoes that let you move a lot faster. So I imagine that helps quite a bit.
Can you move and shoot at the same time?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, mechanically you can.
It's a first person. I mean, like the mechanics are like a first person shooter.
Okay.
So you can.
You really don't want to because you can't aim worth shit.
Yeah, you try to line up shots.
Especially with the
pistol. Yeah, so I beat it. It took me 13 hours. I started Madhouse difficulty. That's way too hard. watched my girlfriend's daughter play through the whole game. She like beat it in like a day. It's fucking crazy.
Good lord.
I don't know. Like, the game is great. Like, it's fucking phenomenal. It's going to be very high on my top 10. It's what I wanted out of that series. I mean, I kind of went off on it like last week about how much I loved it and how great the VR is in it. Like, all that stuff still stands.
Are you still playing it in VR?
Not right now. Actually, right now, like today, I finally gave up on Madhouse difficulty. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen so much of this game over the last 2 weeks that like I'm getting sick of it. So.
Yeah, well, apparently there's a free DLC coming out. Like, that's not part of the season pass, so.
Yeah, when you beat the game, it says coming this spring. I forgot what it's called, but yeah.
Not your hero.
Yeah, but there's already DLC that came out yesterday that's paid DLC that's, like, different modes and shit, and so.
Yeah.
If I really.
Are there any, I think there were tapes included in that, too, right? Like.
Yeah, there's tapes. There's a different mode, like, called Nightmare mode or some weird shit. There's a mode called Ethan Must Die or something like that.
Very Devil May Cry of them.
I I think that that Ethan must die mode is that the difficulty that's harder than the Madhouse, or
I don't know else. How you get harder.
I think it's an instant kill or something.
Dude, Madhouse. All right, so I was playing Madhouse, and you know how very early on you fight Mia, and she has a chainsaw. She's like chasing you around. All right, so like, I had like 25 or something bullets, and I shot her in the head probably at least 20 times. Like maybe missed her head 5 times, and she killed me. And that's after trying it like 15 times, where she would just get me with the chainsaw right away and just instantly kill me. And I finally was just like, you know what? Maybe I was like one or two shots away from actually getting her, but I give up. If I can't beat this, I'm not going to try to go through the whole game like this. This is insanity. So I just, at that point, it's like, all right, I either start another game again, and I don't really want to do that opening hour again. Like, scene start, like that whole first tape where you're like walking through and you're videotaping the two other guys. Like, I played through that in the demo like several times. I played through it in the actual game. And so I'm like, oh, I don't want to start over on normal difficulty again and have to play through this first hour again. So I think I'm just going to take a break from all games until Horizon comes out. But,
hey, go watch some movies.
Yeah. But, dude.
Find a nice strategy game.
Or that.
I mean, for you guys.
Halo Wars?
Halo Wars is coming out soon.
Yes, it is. No. I'm going to play that on my PC.
Yeah, but
this is the debate I keep having with myself. So I'm cheap.
Okay. And
I know if I get this game from Best Buy, I can get it for $48.
Yeah.
But I want to play. I want the Xbox Play Anywhere version.
Which you need to buy the digital version. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm torn.
Think about it this way: instead of spending $120 on two copies, you're spending $60.
Yeah, but we weren't going to spend $120 on two copies. Never spend
$120 on any.
No, but. I'm just in order to get that version that lets you basically own two copies of the game.
Yeah.
What did you think of? So I think I'm about halfway through, Jeff. I just defeated Margaret in the greenhouse, and so now I got to go back and fight. Well, not fight, but like go deal with the sun.
Yeah.
And stuff. And like I just. I feel like I can't believe that there's still like another 6 hours to this game.
At least, yeah, like you're right around halfway. Dude, there's some great stuff that you get to do. Like, I don't know if you've done the happy birthday part yet. Have you done?
I have, and that's later.
You have not done happy birthday?
No. I literally like went back to the trailer, and that's when he called, and I found the head in the fridge.
I love that whole part, dude. I thought that whole part, like, it was not wearing on me by that point. I was like, this is all great. It's just like you reach a point that feels like it's going to be the end, and it, like, really, really feels like, all right, this is the end. And then there's another, like, you go somewhere else completely, and there's a whole other 2-3 hours, and it's just like, whoa. But it's not like, I mean, whatever. It ends up being 13 hours overall. It's, you know, you want to get your money's worth too out of it, you know, like, so.
Right. I guess I'm just feeling slightly fatigued. Cause like, okay. So my biggest issue with the game is that like until boss fights, I'm never lacking ammo like whatsoever. And I feel like when they made the game, they realized that was an issue. And so they just gave the bosses an insane amount of health.
Well,
so that way, by the time you were done, you were left with nothing again, and like I was like, well, but guys, I had 20 bullets in my shotgun and 35 handgun bullets and 300 flamer fluid and 5 grenades, and you made a boss that had so much health, I have 11 bullets left. It's like,
well, that's Resident Evil. Yeah, you gotta save all your ammo and build it up and like avoid enemies and save it for the boss. Yeah.
Well, but that was the thing. Like, I never had to avoid many of the, dudes, the molded, except for the big one in the fucking incinerator room who killed me in 2 hits. Mm. He was a bitch. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'll finish it because I got to review it. But I don't know. I feel like its best moments are behind it now. But
No,
you
dude.
Keep talking
no,
about the birthday you, sequence, so maybe not.
It's. I mean, there's nothing. It's just a cool like. It's actually like a videotape you do, and then you do it again outside of the videotape.
Right.
But it's just like a cool, like little, like three room type thing where it's just like a puzzle that spans across these like several rooms, and basically you're trying to take a candle from one room into the next and put it in a birthday cake.
Yeah.
And the candle has to be lit. But when you walk from one room to the next, there's like these shower heads that spray on you as you walk through and puts out the candle. And so like the whole, it's like a little house almost where you're trying to figure out how the hell do I walk past these shower heads and not get the candle wet? And it's like, I don't know. It's just interesting. It was like fun. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff sounds cool. I liked like the kids' room fucked me up for a little bit. I was like, all right. I'm going to take some space now, because that, like, was probably the only part that it was actually, like, truly, like, unnerving. Because it was dark, yeah. And they purposely, like, I don't like that they turn your flashlight on and off for you, like, depending on where you are in the game.
You don't have any control over
but,
it, yeah.
Like, they put it out at one point, and then the little girl just talks to you, and I was like, that was not cool. I did not like that.
Nice.
Like the scariest things in that part, like a ball just bounces down the hallway, and you're like, oh, fuck. He's in that area until after you complete the puzzle at the end. And the enemies are the least scary part of it. They're actually funny. Those molded, man, they'll get stuck in doors like nobody's business. And the game has to despawn them and put them at the back of the hallway so I can open the damn door again.
Dude, play that game in like VR and sell me that shit.
It's
scary.
Because
you catch one of those guys that crawl along the ground out of the corner of your eye, you're like, oh my god, dude.
I'm
like,
just about shit. To come across those. I think they start spawning now. To be fair, I have gotten caught off guard by one or two of them because they've like walked around the opposite direction I expected. And so I've killed one and backed into another by accident. That was terrifying. But I'm glad to know that by the end of the game, it gives me enough connection to the overall Resident Evil universe that satisfies me with perhaps where they might go.
Do you know that?
I do, because I watched the ending.
Okay. Oh. Well, you're spoiling yourself.
No, I got bored. I was like, I reached that halfway point of the game, and I was like, how much more of this is left? And I started looking through a guide, and I realized, like, separated by locations, that there's still, like, four or five more. Just like, oh, my God. But.
I don't know, dude. I'm just speaking overall, like, and for people who didn't listen last week or who weren't here, dude, it's what I wanted them to do with the series. I didn't even know, like, I didn't want them to go first person or whatever, but, like, they just did it right. They, like, paid attention to what's going on in the genre, but also went back to what made it Resident Evil. And, in my opinion, it's a great game. Like, it's possibly my favorite one. Like,
yeah, well, where I'm at right now, like, it feels very Resident Evil. Like,
yeah.
Even, like, you know, down to the puzzles and, you know, the inventory management, there's a sense of dread because of, like, the limited resources. It feels like an old school Resident Evil game.
It's just great. Like, I couldn't be happier with how they did it. And honestly, like, as it went on, and this would be a first for me for the series, I liked the story. I like Doug, and I don't know if you spoiled yourself on the story, Pete, but like, just the idea of this family in this house, like I was more connected to that than anything in the series.
So no, I don't. I have no. The only stuff that I spoiled was the, like, what the ending boss looked like, because I was just curious where they went with it. And the very end of the game. So where, I know that
it ties in.
I know that the tape little. With Mia at the end is basically what explains all that, and I haven't bothered to look into that, so I'll just play that when it comes across.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like I just, a lot of games, you guys know this, I don't pay attention to the story in a lot of games, and like,
which so is super upsetting.
But for me to get into a story in a game, that means they're doing something right. And by the end of this game, I was like, oh, it's interesting. Like, I kind of am interested in this family and how they became this way, and the game does an interesting way of explaining why they're all fucked up the way they are.
Right.
And, like, it's kind of almost circular, and like, I just cared about the characters. Like, both, you know, Ethan, Mia, the Baker family, like, I kind of cared about all of them way more than the goofy umbrella shit from the rest of the series. Like, the whole rest of the series, I just took as a really cheesy, like, horror movie, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is cheesy, too, but it's, like,
great movie.
But this has, like something I could hook onto, like, to care about. Like just a simple, basic story.
Does Ethan become more of a character? Bullshit. Because he hasn't said much of anything except who he builds this more. Shit and fuck.
He talks more as it goes
on. Okay, because that's all he said. And like when he actually started yelling about the bugs or something in the crawl space, I was surprised. I was like, I forgot that this isn't a silent protagonist.
Nice. They definitely, you know, they build him up more, they build Mia up more, and they build this little girl Evelyn up more as it goes on. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, like they took it back to what I liked, and then they also added in a story that I gave a shit about. Like, the game gets mad props for me. It's going to be very high on my top 10. And the VR is fucking awesome. So,
yeah, if you could, because I'm probably going to try, I'm going to try and finish it tomorrow, maybe, or Saturday. If you could, when you get a chance, like, write up a VR type review that I can tack on to my thing.
Yeah, I could give you like a little like sidebar type thing.
Yeah, because I don't own a PSVR, and I think that since it's such an important aspect of the game, like it's probably the first AAA title to have VR built into it. It's worth talking about.
Yeah, it turned out so much better than I thought. I mean, I went on about it last week, but yeah, especially about you could tinker with the settings, and then when you put the settings on like extreme settings, it's awesome.
Nice,
so cool.
Right. Move off of that. We're going to jump in the news very shortly. I did buy a Raspberry Pi 3, and I'm going to put one of them together, hopefully by next week. I wanted to start on it today, but I didn't get around to it. But it's super tiny. I wasn't quite expecting that it is actually smaller than my phone. And it's an actual computer that is smaller than my phone, and the case will be smaller than my phone. So, I'm going to kind of put it together and put a RetroPie on it so it runs some emulators and then probably a Kodi and do like a media center on it as well. So cool. I'm hoping I don't blow anything up. So
best of luck to you.
That's cool. I know you're into that.
I want to try and put one together. So
you can videotape yourself doing some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Maybe I'll do that.
Put it on Twitch or something.
All right. Maybe I'll do that. Somebody could like, hey, no, you're doing that wrong, and you're gonna blow yourself up. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe they'll save your life.
Hey, you big dumbo.
maybe not save my life, but definitely like save me $40 because that's what the motherboard costs. So, all right, let's do some news here.
Oh boy,
we're gonna jump right into the big one: the Oculus lawsuit with ZeniMax.
Yeah, so break this down for me, Chris, because I read the whole thing and I still am not entirely sure what. So, okay.
What happened?
So they were alleging ZeniMax that Oculus stole trade secrets because ZeniMax and Oculus were working together before they were bought with Facebook.
Yes.
And Carmack was working for both companies, and then when they were bought by Facebook, he left ZeniMax to Oculus, and they allege that he took a bunch of shit with him.
Yes.
Okay.
To the point where he like.
But Google... which part were they found guilty, and in which parts were they not? Because it says here the jury also said that Oculus did not misappropriate trade secrets as contended by ZeniMax, but that they did break NDA and did infringe upon copyright. What is the difference between the two? I know you're not a lawyer, but maybe you know more than I do.
Well, I can give my interpretation, and then maybe Tony can give his. So the NDA was they had signed NDA agreements between Oculus and ZeniMax. So like non-disclosure agreement, they're not allowed to kind of go around that. That's pretty standard for a lot of things business-wise.
Right.
The copyright infringement seems to stem from the fact that they were utilizing id software to test the headsets. So they were using Rage source code and Doom source code. I think it was like Doom 3 source code.
Okay.
To kind of test the headsets. And that seems to be what the judge or the jury here, I guess, sided with that. That's what the copyright infringement seems to be. Because I think that was also used on the Kickstarter, was that they kind of showed off the Doom stuff and the Rage stuff there. So I think that's what that piece of the case was.
Okay. Because, yeah, I like the misappropriation of trade secrets and copyright infringement sounded like the same thing.
Yeah, those two are two different things. So a trade secret would be something that you have in your code that nobody else could possibly ever have. And for something like their code, I mean, they sell it. It's not proprietary.
Right, because it needed software engine and stuff like that. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that it all amounted to about a $500 million payout to
which was about a quarter of what they were seeking.
Less than a quarter of what they were seeking, $4 billion.
Hey.
Okay, I thought it was 2 to 4. All right.
They were seeking $2 billion for it was $2 billion for the kind of like ripping using their shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the trade secret piece, and then another $2 million in punitive damages.
Think about how much Taco Bell 99-cent burritos you could buy with that. Oh my
that's God. A lot of burritos.
Fuzzy. That's too many burritos.
Nah, it's just enough.
So I don't know. It seems to me, it kind of seems like it's like a little slap on the wrist to Oculus, and not really a big win for ZeniMax. Like.
Yeah, which is weird because then, like, John Carmack comes out on Facebook and, like, has this whole tirade and stuff like that, which made me feel like, in the end, that maybe he's a bit more guilty than things
well,
actually gone to
be. He was accused of was absurd. Like, taking hard drives wholesale and, like, having to, when as soon as the lawsuit started to come to fruition, like, him madly trying to figure out how to delete everything he had taken.
Yeah, I don't, well, because, like, but and he, that's, like, not even stuff that he addresses. He talks about, like, we showed them the code. He's, I guess, as part of, like, exhibits of evidence, they brought actual large stills of code for the jury to look at.
Mm-hmm.
That was read to them so they could see the differences in the two. And he was like, he thought that like the judge was bribed and that the reason that the court expert only said what ZeniMax did was because he wanted to keep getting paid, which I feel like he gets paid no matter what he says. So
right.
Yeah,
it's like sort of all these outlandish claims about what ZeniMax could be doing for, like you said, is basically just a slap on the wrist. Like, even though ZeniMax is still trying to prevent them from selling the device, I doubt that'll go very far. They got a quarter of $1 billion and or half a billion. I don't know.
Well, and I guess Oculus Facebook is going to appeal that verdict, and hopefully for them, they want to get that toned down a little bit. Where obviously ZeniMax is like, no, this isn't enough. So they, I guess they filed for an injunction against sales of the Rift. I don't know how that's going to work out. So
probably poorly. That's like, I imagine if the trade secrets thing had gone through, they would have a more, they'd have a much stronger case to get that stuff off the market. But if it's more like NDA stuff, then.
Right.
I mean, copyright infringement, maybe. I feel like they just get slapped with, like, hey, you have to pay them a percentage of sales or something like that. If that's something that they can even do. I don't know how those corporate suits work necessarily.
Yeah, it's a weird case all the way around, but
you figured the industry shockwave would have been bigger, and it was just sort of like a puff of air in the grand scheme of things.
I think that the big thing that came out of this was that ZeniMax wanted to make their own headset. Kind of, why didn't they? Like, they weren't doing anything with whatever VR research they were creating. So like their attack at Oculus now seems to be because Facebook bought them for $2 billion, and Oculus kind of pushed back at ZeniMax.
Now, does this lawsuit predate that purchase, though? I think it may.
I think it does. I'm gonna
maybe. No, because Zuckerberg was called as a witness.
Right. Well, he might. I think he could still be right, even if it happened beforehand. When. Because, like, he now, because he owns the company now, right? Do you remember when they were bought?
No.
Because the earliest article I found is an Ars Technica article from 2014.
That's when ZeniMax sued Oculus. Yes.
Yes, in May. I don't know when they were bought by Facebook. So according to this, it says they actively, like you were saying, they began pursuing VR. But they ran into significant limitation with regards to latency. And that's when Carmack encountered Palmer's Rift prototype, and they sort of like started working together.
Let's see. Facebook acquired Oculus for $2 billion in, it was finalized in July of 2014.
So I would have been like later.
Along with $4 million, roughly $1.6 billion in stock, Facebook paid for Oculus an additional $300 million in cash. That was as of March 21st. So I guess that's when it was finalized in July. But
okay, I think. So I'm skimming this Ars Technica article, but ZeniMax had tried to acquire Oculus as well before Facebook did, because they were like working well. Like basically, Carmack was an employee of both companies at this point, and they figured it would make sense. And they offered them, I don't know, a percentage or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he officially joined.
ZeniMax wanted 15% equity in Oculus, and they turned that down.
Right.
Which
is weird, because now they're owned wholesale by Facebook, so like...
Well, I wonder what 15% of Oculus at the time that they were trying to make that deal would have been, as opposed to $2 billion that Facebook bought them for.
Right.
Anyway, that case is now, I guess, kind of wrapped up. It doesn't seem to put VR in any sort of bad spot.
I imagine the only possible thing that could happen is if the injunction gets put in place for the sales of Rift for however long. But that seems so outlandish that I don't think that anything's going to get in the way of them. They'll just be more money or something.
Yeah. And I guess ZeniMax is thinking about doing that. They haven't they haven't decided on that yet. So their lawyers are probably going through the ruling and trying to determine exactly what they can and can't do. So
yeah.
But yeah, so the Oculus will continue to be sold, I guess, and
cool. I'll
continue to not care.
Yep.
Like, this will make Tony happy.
I like things that make me happy.
Madden says the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Get excited. I know Jeff's excited.
Yes, he loves the Patriots too, I hear. So.
Boo! No one gives a shit about your Patriots.
Hey, are the Super Bound Bowl bound Jags? Are they?
Yeah.
Have some seats
in the yeah. Game? My Jags. They got many, more heart.
How many seats did they get at the Super Bowl this year?
What?
I was just wondering how many people they're sending to watch the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl bound Jags?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlimited. There's no number.
The stadium will be full of Jaguars. The
number has not been invented.
There is no number.
Just Jaguars.
That's it.
Everywhere.
Unleashing Jaguars. We got Tom Coughlin back. It's time to get back to that 14-2 records we're so used to.
You're so used to.
Yeah, those are some good years.
All right.
God bless you.
Madden is 9-13 predicting the.
Great. That makes me feel real good.
Not 9-13. 9-13. I'm sorry. So 9-4.
Wow. 9-4.
That's picking it straight up. So. That's pretty good record.
Sure.
We're doomed. They're 8-5 against the spread.
Doomed.
Which is okay, I guess. So.
Madden's got that hook up.
Yeah. So we'll see, I guess. We'll see if your Patriots are going to win. Madden says so.
It's all about
what does the octopus Gaga. Say?
What does the octopus say? I don't know. The octopus make a choice?
I don't know. They haven't asked him.
I don't know. Wasn't the octopus German, though?
I don't know. I think he predicted the election as well. And everyone was like, why would we trust this octopus that's been right about everything else?
Exactly. Oh, that octopus? I remember the octopus.
All right, so there's some Switch news. We're probably going to be getting more and more Switch news over the next 3 or 4 weeks because before it launches. But I guess they came out, and we know that the Switch is going to have a online service that you're going to have to pay for if you want to play online. It looks like it'll cost somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 yen, which is translates to $17.63 and $26.44. So
yeah, that's not too bad. But
speculation is it'll probably be $30
in the US for a year.
For the year, yeah. But we don't know what that actually gives you either, outside of the monthly virtual console rental.
It allows you to talk to people on your phone.
Yeah. Righto.
All right.
And play Splatoon online, I guess.
Splatoon, and I guess you can play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe online as well.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So you know, the four online titles that Nintendo makes.
Right. Because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of third-party support right now.
Right. It's not like we got to worry about Call of Duty or Battlefield coming to the Switch. So,
but there are 100 games in development for the Switch.
You didn't have this on here, but did you see the interview that the president gave about like why the launch lineup is so bad?
No. And what did Trump have to say about the launch lineup?
I met the president of Nintendo, but yes. I'm sure he has his own opinion on it as well. No, he was just like, hey, we've had problems with dumping too much up front, and then there are no games, right? Like with the 3DS and stuff like that, like the lack of titles. And he's like, so we decided to spread it out, and everyone was like, but that's what you did with the Wii U, and then you just stopped making games.
Well, no, to be fair, the Wii U did have like 20 or so games.
Yeah, the Wii U had a really strong launch lineup. It was just there was nothing after that for 6 months.
Right,
so now they're trying the opposite approach, and I feel like they are going...
That's not the answer. No, it's not the fucking answer. Well, we're going to take whatever little we had and spread it out even more. It's going to be great.
Well, like, four games at launch isn't really... Like, that's not... that's not the answer either, right? Like yeah, 10, yeah. 10 at launch and then like a couple every month would have been maybe serviceable.
Some middle ground.
At least to get you till June, right? Because you need to be able to get to June where you can go to E3 and kind of, you know, do a big blowout on what's coming over the next 18 months. But right now, there's not really a whole lot to look forward to with that system.
I'm telling you, if they would have had Mario at launch, though, I would have been dying to get the pre-order right now. But as it is, I'm like, I guess I'll just wait till Mario. I don't know. Or maybe, like, in the summer, if I'm bored, I'll pick it up and get to Splatoon.
When my, you know, tax return comes in, maybe I'll pick it up.
Shit, I already got mine, bro.
You already got your tax return?
Yeah.
I need a file still. That reminds me, I gotta do that more.
I gotta do that too.
I don't want to look. Damn. We go to my accountant on Saturday, so do our taxes. But this is gonna make you sad, Jeff.
I like things that make Jeff sad.
Yeah, that's great. So the idea that we all had, I guess, for the Switch was that like this was replacing the 3DS and the Wii U.
But yeah, that's what every same person thought. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, Nintendo was pledging to keep making games for the Nintendo 3DS. They have many unannounced titles still in development.
Yeah.
I find that unsurprising.
I think it is a little surprising because, like, Nintendo will do the opposite of that. They'll say, no, we're going to keep supporting 3DS. It's still a thing. But then when a new thing comes out, they'll be like, nah, whatever.
I mean, they did announce the new Fire Emblem game, right? I still feel like this is Pokemon's fault.
I don't know. I think if the Switch actually sold how they wanted it to, that the 3DS would be dead. But I think they're just, like, hedging their bets. I don't know. And
I guess we have to, like, the 3DS had a great year last year. Like,
right.
With
Fire Emblem and Pokemon. And
yeah, and it sold, like, a million more units year over year. Which for a console that's 6 years old, that's pretty impressive. They have 62 million units. Maybe Pokemon's not ready for the Switch yet, so.
But goddammit, guys.
They should have been. I mean, there wasn't a ton of games on the 3DS last year, though, I don't think. I don't know. What have they been doing? That's just my question. Like for like weeks now, is what the fuck have you guys been doing?
Yeah. So, I guess they have a Ever Oasis is coming out this year.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Fire Emblem Echoes, Mario Sports Superstars, and Pikmin are all coming to the 3DS this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I kind of wish that some of that was transitioned to the Switch.
Yeah, I would like Pikmin on the Switch.
Or at least that, like, the Switch could play those games, too.
Right.
Like, if it had a 3DS emulator in it or something, like, or boot mode, like the Wii U does for the Wii. That way you could take the whole system with you if you wanted.
Yeah, that would be nice. But, I guess we'll see. But, yeah, so I'm sure that makes you a little sad, Jeff.
Yeah, a little bit, because I mean, the way to make Switch work is to put lots of games out for it. And you don't do that by putting games out on the 3DS. So,
no.
Yeah.
I guess EA had did they have an earnings call or?
I'm not sure where all this stuff came.
But they did have a bunch of announcements. There's a new Need for Speed coming this year, which probably is going to be garbage because those games have been garbage since. Was it Most Wanted?
Yeah, the new Most Wanted was good.
The last one Criterion worked on was good.
And then
they had like three more that were shit. NBA Live was supposed to be coming out very shortly, was pushed till next year. Well, next fall.
I feel like that game has been pushed for the past 5 years. is that Jam that I'm thinking of?
EA, come on, man. Just give it up.
This one's really good. That's what they say. It's really good this year.
This will be finally the year.
This is it. There's a new UFC title. That'll be the third one in that series. I've never played one of those UFC games. But
they're pretty good. They're okay, I guess. They look great.
I know people that like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the old THQ license?
It's EA did like an MMA, EA MMA game, and then when THQ went under, EA picked up the license.
Okay. So it's a, yeah, okay. Right. Okay. So
it's the actual UFC. So they have the fighters from UFC and such. BioWare announced their new IP. I don't think there was a whole lot of information there.
They didn't tell anything.
They're making a new IP.
They don't say there is a new IP. That's all we know.
Yeah.
There were all these amazing articles asking, what do you guys think it is? And I'm like, well, if I fucking knew, then it wouldn't be a new game, would it?
It's not an RPG.
Right.
It's not an RPG, but whatever.
I mean, they don't really make RPGs anymore anyways. Yeah, the last two Mass Effect games are shooters.
Not an RPG, it's not really.
Right. Yeah, I guess it's an action game with RPG elements, so.
So Mass Effect.
No, I mean, that's what Mass Effect was. It's like an action game with RPG elements. So this is probably what very similar to that, right?
It's Sonic Chronicles 2 or whatever.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm down with that. Not really.
It'll say Song Shuffle. Appreciate
you. Battlefront 2, which we already knew was coming, will be this fall from DICE, and it will have a single-player campaign.
Yeah, buddy.
That's cool.
Hopefully that turns out well.
Give me a VR campaign, please. Or just a VR Star Wars game.
Some more X-Wing stuff would be cool if they had.
Dude, just give me a Rogue Squadron VR.
I don't know if you'll get that, Jeff, but
they should. That, come on, it's a no-brainer. Even though like VR is not selling like crazy, like that's got to be in the works. It's got to be in the works, dude.
So that's it for EA. And then there was a Final Fantasy anniversary event.
Was there?
There was. There was an event that was for, like, I came away from that really disappointed. Like, there was nothing super exciting from it.
I didn't even realize there was an event. I thought it was just a bunch of people tweeting because it was the day.
No, there was an event. I guess they showed off a trailer for Final Fantasy VII Remake. They showed off another trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3. And that was really about it. They talked a little bit about the stuff they're bringing to Final Fantasy 15.
Right. I think the Gladio DLC is later this month.
Yeah. And
The updates to chapter whatever it is.
Oh, chapter 13, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's in March.
About this, they're releasing after Mass Effect releases.
Yeah.
I was like waiting for those to happen before I started actually getting into the game.
And now you're not going to get to it until after Mass Effect.
I'm playing Mass Effect first.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll get to it in June.
Right.
Yeah, because Mass Effect is atop my list. So Cloud is being like dumped into one of their mobile games.
Sure.
That you can get Final Fantasy VII everywhere, I guess. I don't know. There was nothing like super exciting out of that anniversary event, which
baby.
There's a fork. You can get a Final Fantasy fork.
They announced those came at something else. I was gonna say the Kingdom Hearts pops, but those came out of the London Toy Festival, not this thing.
That sounds more exciting.
I pre-ordered all of those.
Did I read correctly that the Final Fantasy VII Remake is not even in production yet?
No. It is. They have gameplay footage out there.
I saw something today saying that like it hasn't even begun full production yet.
Oh man, maybe it's not. Maybe they're still like pre-alpha or whatever. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like, you know, it took 10 years for Final Fantasy XV to come to market, so. And I guess they did announce that Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age HD.
Oh, right. Yeah, the
coming
the
in 12 thing. June or July. I'm not sure exactly where, but yeah, so that remake of 12 is coming to PS4.
That should be cool. I never finished that game.
Yeah, because it gets really shitty in the back quarter.
Oh. I never got that far. I only ever got past the first judge and then lose track.
like this, it, the story just like stops and it just becomes like grinding for hours and hours and hours, like 20 at a time.
Well, hopefully the new job system helps.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So, but that's about it for new stuff.
I got one last.
What do you got?
Thing which it related to Square at least is that they have put Deus Ex on the back burner.
Yeah,
because the sales of the last game fell short, and Eidos has moved on to make a Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Well, that was part of the Marvel deal. You're missing one thing too: the Avengers game they announced.
No, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, but that's the reason they're moving. That studio is moving to work on that.
I thought that was Crystal Dynamics.
It's both.
So,
Is because they are making a Guardians game.
Right, so it says that Eidos Montreal has canceled a planned sequel to Deus Ex. Blah, 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 blah. They were also working on a new Tomb Raider game, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And
that's Crystal D, yeah.
And it says the other sources say the game is based on Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. And yeah, they're also working on Avengers, which is being led by Crystal Dynamics. So yeah.
So they have multiple teams.
Yeah.
Right.
So what was that, Jeff?
Does that mean Tomb Raider is halted right now or no?
No, I think Crystal Dynamics has two teams as well.
And
Tomb Raider sold pretty well, I think. So.
Is Tomb Raider halted or is Deus Ex?
No, Deus Ex is.
For sure, yes. That is, yeah.
Crystal Dynamics, I think, is still working on.
What I'm reading at The Verge is that Eidos is also working on the next Tomb Raider game. So they're working on three games. They're working on the Guardians game, the Avengers game, and parts of Tomb Raider with Crystal D. And Crystal D is working on the Avengers game and Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Right. I mean, they're in the same... They're both in Montreal. I imagine they're in the same building, so they probably work fairly closely on those kind of things.
Hopefully they turn out good. That's a little bit disappointing being as I just finished Human Revolution though, and that game ends on a like cliffhanger kind of thing. Like,
yeah. I mean, considering that game, I'm not surprised necessarily, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was like the way that game ends, it very much was part one of two.
Yeah.
Which is shitty, because if they had just fit it all in the one game, then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right, and I guess they're just sort of spitting out the remaining DLC that they said they would bring for the season pass, and then it'll go away for a while. But an action-oriented Guardians game could be really cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, a good Guardians game and a good Avengers game could be
cool. I would accept either of those.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, the teams are made up of distinct enough characters that, like, you could have distinct playstyles for each one and have them be fairly interesting and not just have, like, a game with five characters that all play exactly the same and stuff. So there's a lot of variety, I think, to bring to something like that.
I really hope that Eidos kind of does what they do, though, with the Guardians game, like, where, you know, Deus Ex, Human Revolution, Mankind Divided were kind of like RPG type games. Mm. I kind of hope that's kind of what they do here instead of just like a generic action game.
Well, I mean, I could imagine if they wanted to, is have little open world pockets like they did with Deus Ex that are the different planets you go to. The ship is your main base, and I mean, you guys are bounty hunters, right? So if they include some like side quests and contracts, I think like Guardians, especially being out in space, lends itself to their type of game.
Because I would be really on board with good superhero games that aren't Batman.
Yes,
Batman's fun.
You like Spider-Man. Spider-Man this year, baby.
No,
I don't think Spider-Man is going to be this year.
I think it is.
I actually think they specifically said it wasn't this year, but I would be happy to be proven wrong.
I'm all for it coming this year, but it's not supposed to.
But hey, I would be happy to be wrong, because that game, I would be totally down for
it. I'll say it's at a... Yeah, it's right here. Insomniac will not see the light until 2018.
Based on that?
Yeah.
Well, shit. Good thing I didn't put it on my list.
Well, neither of these games will be seen until 2018 either, so.
Yeah.
So we can have good. Really good superhero games in 2018. Right. If Marvel's we make it that far.
Yeah. I mean, if all those rumors about what Rocksteady's working on are true, too, we'll have another Batman-esque game probably around E3 being announced. So.
I just hope it's not Batman.
No, it's supposed to be Damian, which is his son in the comics, which could be... Yep.
Which I kind of just wanted them to get away from Gotham and... I love the Batman characters, but do something else. Like, do
right. I think they're afraid to. I think they're afraid to try Superman or to try Flash or something because
do Green Arrow. He's basically Batman.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, what they should do is just make the Dark Knight Returns into a game, and you got the best of all worlds. You got Green Arrow. You got Superman. You got Batman. I got Robin, I can't remember her name in that comic, but goddammit.
Stephanie?
No, Kelly something.
Hmm.
She was the Robin just in that.
Okay. Anyway, is anybody going to be playing Fire Emblem Heroes?
No.
That's the iOS Android Fire Emblem game that comes out.
Carrie Kelly was her name.
I've never played Fire Emblem, so I don't know if that's something I would like, but
I don't know. My brother's really excited. He likes the Fire Emblem game, so
Daxter loves Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of Daxter, thank you.
Ask
this question again.
I was waiting for it. I was ready.
All right, yes. So before we get out of here, let's answer this question that came in from Daxter. He would like to know, are there any gaming series that you guys wish you could go back to their roots?
All right, I have a really typical answer, but I want to hear if somebody has an unexpected one.
Dude, I thought one right off the top of my head, and we knew about this question in advance, and I forgot to think about all show. But just right off the top of my head, just popped in my head, Paper Mario, what the fuck, yo? All
right.
Just make it so, like the first one.
So, funny thing is that that is actually Daxter's example.
Really?
he would like Paper Mario to return to its roots.
Yeah, dude. It was fine, and you keep, you're fixing something that's not broken.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys say? I mean, my obvious answer for all time was Resident Evil, and they did that, except they made it fresh. They did it. Awesome.
Which I think works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ideally how you want
to
do it.
Return to its roots, right, in the way that, Doom did. You know, it's not they didn't make a shooter where you can't look up anymore. Just made a game that evoked the spirit of that game, you know? In Wolfenstein, in its own way, did and didn't. But I really still like Wolfenstein.
I have an unexpected answer.
What you got, Tony?
I'm going to go with Mass Effect.
You'd like them returned to kind of the way
it was. I'd like them to emphasize the RPG aspects more. Like, the last game absolutely was basically a really long shooter.
Can they emphasize those elements without also emphasizing the Mako?
I think they can. Okay, but then again, I mean, I wouldn't mind the Mako if the Mako was actually done right.
Didn't handle like shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the worst part of the Mako was it drove like the Mako. It wasn't the actual idea was pretty good. It just needed to be executed better.
And I think there's a vehicle in this one, too, so I'll be
there
slowly...
I'm guessing that it drives much better.
Right.
I'm just going to assume that, knowing nothing about it, but...
Yeah, I'd have to generally agree with you, Tony, though. Like, it would be nice to see them make it more of an RPG again, at the very least.
I'm curious to see how... I mean, I don't think we've seen any, leveling system and stuff like that. It's more it's why I think this game is more about base building mechanics and stuff like that.
That's why it's low on my list.
Like, outposts and stuff like that, which I think could be a lot of fun. Because that was actually a lot of the stuff I liked from Mass Effect 2 was, collecting the resources and being able to upgrade my ship and stuff like that. So if it's more of that, but more than just a menu, that you go to, I would be totally cool with that.
Cool. Fozzie, you got one?
I guess. Man, that Mass Effect one was really good. I don't know. Assassin's Creed, well, no. I did like the ships too, but.
Sonic.
Yeah. No.
Well, you get Sonic Mania.
I would like to see another like Final Fantasy, even if it's not a like big main one, but like a turn based Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
would be cool.
They made that game. That was I Am Setsuna.
Okay, but they didn't make that game.
No, but they did. I mean, that's a Square game.
It does not say Final Fantasy on the cover.
With the literal exception of the title change, it's...
And it's not by the... That's more of a Chrono Trigger game, if anything, like...
Sure.
All right, how about this? Dead Space. Dead Space 1 was fantastic.
Dead Space is dead, yo.
Thank God.
Wasn't it supposed to be? Like, dead?
Wait.
No, I'd say, like...
With space.
It's not like it's a...
Living Space? Liebenstrom?
Could you imagine if that's how they rebooted, though?
Donald Trump, never mind.
Like, I don't think Dead Space can go back to its roots. I don't think you can get another. I don't think. It doesn't feel like there's going
to
be another.
Visceral's on to Star Wars now, right? So.
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying.
I hear you.
I'm with you, Fozzie.
Go back.
Especially with how that third game came out and stuff.
That third game was.
I never played it.
Woof. It was the Resident Evil 6 of the Dead Space series.
Yeah. The second one was phenomenal. Fine. That second game was great. That was the aliens of that series.
Yeah, I like the first more.
I only ever played the first one. I tried some of the third one. I think there was a demo.
I think Chris is right, though. It is like the aliens. So, like, if you're a fan of Alien 1 more, you'll probably like Dead Space 1 more.
Right.
If you, you know, yeah.
Yeah, Aliens 2 is, I mean, Dead Space 2 is definitely more, it's more fast-paced.
Yeah.
But I think it definitely still has some of the creepiest fucking imagery.
The needle in the eyeball?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we still all remember that.
Well, that was what went around. Anytime that game came up during that year, it was like, oh, but my like, god, like, that needle in the eye scene. Ugh.
That, like, you know, like me and Chris played that part before people were talking about it. You know, and you're just like, whoa, dude, like, ugh.
Yeah,
that's super uncomfortable. I don't like that. Like, yeah, exactly. And that's stuck with us all since.
What I choose here. It's tough because we've kind of.
I'm trying to think of more. I mean, I'm also inclined to say Tony Hawk, but like they did try to do that and it was terrible.
Sucked. And I would say Zelda, but they did that with A Link Between Worlds, and
right. And they kind of did it with Mario already. That's what all those 2D ones have kind of been.
Right.
Star Fox.
I'm not a big Star Fox.
I'd like to see Mario go back to, like, you know, like the old 3D style, like 64 or Sunshine, but we're getting that, so.
I'd like to see Metroid return to kind of its roots, because that last Metroid game was really bad.
I still can't believe that the last Metroid game that was made was Other M.
Are you saying, though, well, it's not officially anymore, there's
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, the last...
Federation Force.
Right, because, I mean, that game came out in 2010. That game is 7 years old. Oh, Federation... Oh, you're right, Federation Force. I thought you were talking about the AM2R.
No. So what are you saying, Chris? You want, like, a Metroid
Prime or... I want a 2D
Metroid. Yeah, I love a 2D Metroid. So great.
But even like Metroid Prime did that in 3D, like, so it's not like it ever really kind of strayed away from its roots. It's just
if I had my choice, I would have a new Metroid Prime with regular first person controls. Like, oh my god, dude. Like a new, like, you know, new HD system. That'd be so great. Fuck. But we're getting off base here.
I do have one, though, and you guys will probably disagree completely with me on this, but Fallout.
I don't necessarily, because I didn't like Fallout 4, so I could totally see like a Pillars, I guess what's now like a Pillars of Eternity.
Right, like an isometric
Divinity kind of thing.
Okay, a PCS RPG. I mean, I like Fallout 3, and Fallout 4 was okay, but I'd like to see... I'd love to get another game like that, and I guess we did with Wasteland, but not the same.
Right. No, I don't...
Was there a time when it wasn't Poop Brown?
No.
Yeah, getcha.
Fallout? No, it was kind of always that color. I guess Fallout 2...
Yeah, nuclear Fallout. I get it.
Yeah, Fallout 2 had a little more color to it, I guess.
I mean, there's some color in Vegas, in New Vegas and stuff, depending on where you go.
That's true.
I still think New Vegas is probably the best one. It's the most creative of them. I would love to see Obsidian do another Fallout, more than I would like to see Bethesda do one.
And I'd love to see Infamous go back to Infamous 1.
Being good, yeah.
Infamous 1 was good. And then they made 2, which was less good.
Oh, boy.
And then 3, which was even less good.
Hard to imagine.
Right.
I never played Second Son, but yeah. Oof. But I guess, you know, that one was tough. That was a launch game, ass launch game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I mean, mine is Silent Hill, like straight up. Because, you know, not PT notwithstanding, if we even count that as a part of the series at this point, right? You know, the last game you had before that was Downpour. Which was okay, but there were games like Homecoming, which was like god awful, and Origins, which was divisive, and Shattered Memories, which some people really like, I really like it. Some people really hate it because
it took
combat out of the whole game. But
I could really go back to like, you know, like Silent Hill 1, 2, 3, 4, like even 4 is okay.
Four was when it all started and. That's because it wasn't supposed to be a Silent Hill game, but
no, it was supposed to be something else. But they like tacked on some Silent Hill shit to it. But
it is Silent Hill now. Congratulations!
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, obviously that's not ever going to be the case because it's a pachinko game now or something. So, hey, at least we still have Resident Evil, I guess, in terms of old Japanese horror games.
Hey. How about Call of Duty?
Where do you want it to return?
Yeah, which roots?
World War II? Yes, dude.
World War II, yeah, I could see that. I am down for a World War II game. Especially after Battlefield 1, which was really good.
I wonder if that's where they go with this. Considering the reception to Infinite was really lukewarm by a lot of their fan base. But I don't know if the fan base wants them to go all the way back to World War II or if they want them to just stay in modern times.
And the problem
is that it's
still the best-selling game, the best, like, across the board. Like, Call of Duty was the best-selling series in 2016.
Seriously? Jesus.
Yeah.
God.
Dude, I'm telling you from my retail days, I know it's, like, probably slowly eroding, but there's just nothing yeah. that comes close to it.
Yeah, Battlefield came close this year.
Which has got to scare the shit out of them.
They were pretty... But, I mean, Battlefield sold really fucking good.
Right, no, I mean, that's got to scare the shit out of Activision and, like, hey, they never had this much ground on us before.
Yeah, I think the last time they did that good was Battlefield 3.
And that was right around Ghosts, maybe?
No.
Like one of the worst Call of Duties?
No, because Ghosts was Battlefield 4.
Oh, one of the worst Battlefields.
Yeah, where Battlefield was broken.
Right, okay.
Broken Field.
That's good.
So we'll be playing some more games this week.
Yep. I'm going to barrel through Resident Evil.
Hopefully
have a review on the site by Monday. That is my goal.
I will have another retro review up next week. I believe next week is Jedi Outcast.
Cool.
And I'll have one the week after. I'll write it this weekend. Jedi Academy, and I'll come up with a new naming convention for Tony. So,
yeah,
right, nice they all just say,
Star Wars. I don't
Star Wars. Like 12 Jedi
reviews
Knight.
Up there. They all say Star Wars.
Which one is it? Which God damn it! yeah.
What's the big stuff in February? Since it's the third, like, what do we? Besides Horizon at the end of the month, is there
Halo Wars?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, those are the two big games in February. Halo Wars.
Whole lot of nothing for me.
You not into Horizon, Jeff?
Oh, I'm all over Horizon. I'm just saying between now and then, I got nothing to play.
Horizon's at the end of the month too, right?
I know. I think it's the 28th.
It's like,
yeah, I think it's like the end of the month, Zelda.
Which is really upsetting, but.
I'm not going to be able to finish it before Zelda, probably.
It's only 25 more days away.
Yeah, I don't know. There's actually, and for anyone interested, the NDA came out is up on a bunch of sites who got to play like the first 4 hours or something of the game. So if anyone's on the fence, they might
be. Oh, Horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's out there. We'll be talking more about that. It's For Honor this month?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the beta starts this weekend, and then I think it launches later this month.
Anyone still buying that?
No.
Well, I mean, if the beta is good, I'll buy it, but I don't know.
I don't think I'm getting it.
That sounds like a Don game, so.
It does. Don's very excited for the beta.
Yeah. I'll have to see what you guys say about it, if it's any good.
Yeah, we will be playing the beta together, so if you want to, you know, chop people to bits.
All right. We'll be there for that. And I'll be interested to hear what your thoughts are on that. That beta is this weekend, right?
It starts the 9th.
Okay, so next week. Okay. So be interested to hear what you guys have to say about that once that starts. All right, we'll be back next week then. Fozzie, say goodnight.
Good night. Bye.